Arizona's clean election system of public campaign financing has been under fire since voters approved it in 1998. Lawmakers and the U.S. Supreme Court have gutted some of its provisions, but the Citizens Clean Elections Commission remains in place. Proposition 306 on November's ballot aims to do two things related to clean elections. One provision would prevent publicly funded candidates from directing money to a political party, while the other would give the governor's Regulatory Review Commission the power to oversee clean elections rules. With me to talk about Prop 306, our former state lawmaker Jonathan Payton on the yes side and Joel Edmond of the Arizona Advocacy Network on the no side. Jonathan, let me start with you. Why do you think Arizona needs Proposition 306?
This past year, when the Clean Elections Commission instituted a new rule allowing candidates to give money to the political parties. And I think there was a frustration with, A, that rule change because of its substance, and B, that there really wasn't a basis in statute to allow them to do that. So they wanted more accountability for it.
Joel, what at its base, what are the problems with 306?
So I think 306 really is about whether you want more dark money in Arizona's politics or not. You know, the issue of this payments with political parties, you know, is a bit, I think, of a red herring, because it's been illegal for years for candidates to just give money to political parties. And actually last year, the Clean Elections Commission passed new rules requiring more transparency of any kind of transactions between candidates and parties so they can detect instances of just giving money to a political party. Really, the issue here is, do we want clean elections to continue to be the watchdog on trying to require basic disclosure of who's spending money to influence Arizona's elections? Because this would put them under the authority of a body appointed by the governor, whoever the governor is at the time, right? But in the last couple of years, that body has been trying to tell clean elections, you can't have rules about who's spending money in our elections, and exposing that kind of dark money.
Jonathan, it is a two-part proposition.
It's a two-part proposition, but they're both linked. And I think that just to address one of the things that was said, the whole idea that this money wasn't given to the political parties is simply not true. The Democratic Party in this case, in the 2016 election cycle, received over $100,000 from candidates. They just handed over the control of their campaigns to the political parties. They gave them all their money. And we think this sets an extremely dangerous precedent. This ballot measure passed in 1998. I was actually on the ballot at the time, so I remember it quite well, with 50.1% of the vote. I think if you told people back then that you were going to allow the money that people receive from clean elections to flow into the political parties, they never would have voted for it. And I think the other part about it is clean elections has no real accountability. The commission, they get their budgets set by statute. They don't really have any accountability whatsoever, but they have enormous power. And I think that this ballot measure gives more accountability to them.
Joel, would some voters say that there is accountability because it's a bipartisan panel?
That's right. It's bipartisan, and it's designed to be independent of anybody's political agenda. And that's really one of the dangers of putting it underneath, you know, the authority of that panel appointed by the governor. But also, I think this really gets back to the dark money issue of, if you told voters back in 1998 that what we would do is subject that independent Clean Elections Commission to the authority of a body that's been trying to say, no, you can't have any rules about dark money, you know, voters would have been appalled by that, and I think should be appalled by this now. You know, we have been flooded in recent election cycles, you know, with huge amounts of money being spent by groups who we often have no idea who they are, or we only know years later. You know, I think that's something that really troubles voters, and so I hope that voters are going to take a hard look at this and vote no.
I think that if opponents to Proposition 306 really cared about the dark money issue and the dark money groups, they would have agreed with us that not only are people allowed under the new rule from clean elections to give money to the political parties, but they're also allowed to give that government money to those very same dark money groups that they say that they don't like. That there is no prohibition whatsoever, given what the Clean Elections Commission has done, for anybody from giving that money to a 501c4 organization, a so-called dark money group. And I just can't imagine that voters out there like the idea that their money is being spent on political operatives, on the parties that they don't like.
Joel, do you think this is an attack on the clean election system? There's been a chipping away at clean elections for a long time, over the course of 20 years. So with what we're seeing here, do you think both parts of this measure are designed to do that.
No, I absolutely think it's part of this pattern we've seen in the last 20 years since the voters created clean elections of kind of a backlash by the political establishment who's unhappy with a system that was really the voters taking some power back in terms of how their state is run. And, you know, I understand the idea that some folks were upset with the rule that clean elections, you know, settled on in 2017, which, again, I think brings a lot more transparency to the process than we have before. But I think the real question for voters is, you know, even if you're not perfectly happy with that, is that worth allowing more dark money into the system, which is really the bigger impact here? You know, we're talking about millions of dollars being spent, and clean elections is really the only institution we have as a state that's been trying to shine a light on that money.
Jonathan, answer that bigger question for me, would you? Because I know a lot of people, as you mentioned, passed 50.1%. You've both gone back and forth as to what, if voters knew this about clean elections, what would they have done? But is there a feeling of, let's just chip away at this again? It's a fairly weakened, many people would say it's been defanged at this point anyway.
Well, I personally don't support the idea of giving money to candidates to pay for their junk mail and yard signs. I would just flat out say that on my own. That's my own personal point of view. But this ballot measure doesn't do that. This ballot measure allows the current system to be in place that's in statute that was voted on by the people. You can still receive $25,000 for $205 checks, and all those same rules still are put in place. That was what people voted for. They didn't vote for another elections police. They didn't vote for the idea of giving that money to political parties. They didn't vote for any of that. That what they need to understand, it has morphed into something that it was not originally intended to be. I was there while all these debates were happening. I remember running for office at the time, and it is not what the framers said it would be. And I think that is simply because Clean Elections chose to make its own rules as it went along. Think about any other part of government has some kind of accountability. This is an institution that has the power to fine you. It has the power to remove people from office. It can remove the governor from office if it feels that it violates its own rules. My response is, why would you allow them just to simply create their own rules out of whole cloth?
Well, then why would it make sense then to have a council appointed by a governor, Republican or Democrat? There's going to be certainly a swing there. Why is that a better option?
Well, I think that if you look at, and we, the people certainly get to choose our representatives, we vote on them, there's accountability there, but they don't have unfettered power once they're elected. They have to, there's an interplay with the other branches of government. Clean elections should not be exempted from any legislative or executive oversight. That is not the way our system of checks and balances operates. Keep in mind, they just created this rule on their own, and they can remove you as an elected official on their own. There's no other process put in place like you see in the legislature or in the executive branch. That is enormous amounts of power that they have. And I don't think they should have more power to continue to create their own rules, which are essentially laws.
Joel?
So I just want to push back on a couple of the points there. I think one is that the voters, you know, did intend to create a new watchdog that was not a bunch of politicians at the state capitol who otherwise are the ones who set rules for politicians, right, and the groups that spend money to either elect them or oppose them. You know, the idea was to have an independent, bipartisan, you know, nonpartisan kind of a watchdog to make the rules. The last piece, though, on, you know, clean elections can kind of make whatever rules they want. Well, they still have to follow the law, right? They have the authority the voters gave them, and that's the extent of their authority. They can't just sort of make up rules willy-nilly that are not tethered to the authority that they're given. And there's the whole system of checks and balances through the courts. And trust me, they get plenty of scrutiny from the legislature and other elected officials. So the idea that there's some kind of, you know, they're off on their own agenda. You know, their agenda often does conflict with elected officials because their agenda is transparency and is upholding the will of the voters.
Jonathan Payton, Joel Edmond, thank you guys.
Thank you.
Thank you.